don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is August 15th, 2012. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have our guest, Ms. Christy DiMaggio. Christy is a domestic violence survivor and the founder of I Am Raw, and that stands for Raising Awareness for Women, a fledgling domestic violence victims advocacy group here in Phoenix, and will be going also global. Her goal is to help victims change their lives for the better by empowering them to take a stand against their abusers. There are so many women in the world who are abused every day by their partners. Most women who are caught in this precarious situation endure the abuse silently, so the cycle of violence continues unhindered by social norms and legal recourse. I Am Raw aims to break the cycle of violence once and with a full-fledged outreach and impact video campaign. So right now, Christy started a video campaign, and she's trying to reach out to all those who have been domestic violence victims. Now, we're going to introduce Christy in just a few minutes, and we're going to hear Christy's own story. As I said in the beginning, she is a domestic violence survivor and still fighting. But before we talk to her, let me welcome Boyd to the show.
Yes, everyone. I just want to thank everyone for tuning in to me and my missus show every Wednesday night. And we just want to thank all our supporters everywhere, and thank our supporters inside of prison and our supporters out here in the street as well. And without further ado, we're going to turn the mic over to Miss Chrissy and let her formally introduce herself and get started with her message.
Hello. Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. I moved here to the Phoenix area right out a year ago from Kansas City, and it was now I realize a last-ditch effort for my partner to isolate me from my friends and family and life as I knew it. So I've had not much of an opportunity to meet a lot of people, to get out and interact with a lot of individuals. So this is a big step for me being on the show. And I met Lucinda a while back, and so I'm very excited to be on the show and share my story with everybody. Because, again, I kind of feel like I moved to Phoenix and I'm a little bit isolated from everything that I know and all of my resources. So I just want to start by saying thank you again for having me on.
My name is Christy
DiMaggio. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I lived through the cycle of a very abusive relationship for 4 years. And like Lucinda said, I am still fighting. I feel like I got out alive, but I still have daily fights with my ex-abuser, and I just kind of take them one day at a time. It's amazing what an abuser will continue to do even after you leave the relationship. I mean, I realize a lot of women don't get out alive, and they continue to stay in a relationship because it seems safer. But I have to say, it's not safer. I stayed for too long thinking that it was safer until I was nearly killed on April 1st of 2012. And I've just since then decided to fight back and accept whatever it is that he throws my way, and hope that he will be in prison soon for the abuse that he's caused. But like I said, every day is a struggle. And my hope is really to empower women everywhere to know that it's going to be a battle. It's not going to be safer to stay. And I realize it's going to be hard to leave, But if we can stick together and offer these women more support and empower them more, that they can get out and they can rebuild their lives and move on to have great lives and be surrounded by great people. It's just a matter of getting out of it, getting out of that rut. I would have to say I think the most important thing in my situation was the no contact order. This was the first time that I've ever actually stuck with a no contact order and didn't drop it or dismiss it because he coerced me into, you know, dismissing it. So you really have to isolate yourself from your abuser so that you can move on to become a survivor of domestic abuse. So I would say that that's probably been my first step is no contact. And it took about a month of healing without the constant being harassed and text messages and voicemails. And, you know, a lot of times police don't really do anything about it unless they're at your door or at your driveway, which was my situation. I had plenty of threats on voicemails and recorded phone calls, but they just, you know, didn't take them seriously. So, I don't know. I'm here. I'm ready to just share my story with whoever and help empower women to get out of a relationship and, you know, tell them that there is hope. There's light at the end of the tunnel. You can do it.
Right. Exactly.
So now, what I want to ask you, Ms. Chrissy, can you tell the viewers when did this abuse start when did you realize that this is abuse and this is something that is threatening my life and that will take my life if not, you know, leave me messed up for life? Well, when did this all start?
You know, I would have to say I've never honestly been in a relationship quite like this one that I just got out of. I met this gentleman. He swiftly, you know, swept me off my feet. Very charming, very charismatic, very handsome man. We had a lot of fun together. And like I said, he just kind of swept me off my feet. It was 3 months into our relationship, and we were out of town on a vacation together. And we'd been actually whitewater rafting. So we were with a group of friends, and everybody was drinking beer on the river and having a good time. And everybody started to notice that something kind of switched in him towards the end of the day. And we went back to our hotel room from the whitewater rafting trip, and he began looking for my cell phone and just wanting to go through my cell phone, wanting to see who I had been talking to, who I was screwing, what I was doing, you know, just all of this. You know, I just didn't know where any of this was coming from. He found my cell phone and had it up kind of like above his head where I couldn't reach it. And then as he kind of brought his arm down a little bit with it, I jumped up and grabbed it. And I was being funny. I didn't think that this was an argument. I didn't foresee what was going to happen next. When I grabbed my cell phone from him, he immediately grabbed me by the throat and threw me up against the wall, threw me to the ground, started kicking me, pulled me up by my hair onto the bed, and started hitting me in the back of the head behind my ear and just laying his body on me to where I couldn't breathe. I was in absolute shock. I thought for sure that this man was going to kill me in this hotel room, and I was horrified. So I did my best to just calm him down. You know, I love you. I'm sorry. You know, just whatever I did, I was just trying to appease him so that he would at least get away from me enough to where I could run out of the room, which I did. After I got him off of me and calmed him down a bit, he had turned away from me and I ran out of the hotel room. And like I said, it was just very unprovoked. Nothing major had happened for him to behave this way, but I knew at that point this was not a man I was going to be with. I very promptly flew back home to Kansas City. After this incident, the police were called, the report was made, and I filed for a restraining order. And the day before the court date for the restraining order, I found out I was pregnant. and we now have a 3-year-old son. So this kind of changed the whole, game plan. I called him. You know, he apologized up and down. He was sorry. He'd been drinking. He loved me. Don't kill his baby. You know, don't be a baby killer. This is his child. Just everything to just win me back over. So I ended up not following through with the restraining order. And I followed through with the pregnancy. Like I said, we have an amazing 3-year-old son right now. And he continued. I remember the abuse started again when I was about 8 weeks pregnant. I was hospitalized. He assaulted me. And then actually, I believe 4 times while I was pregnant with our son, he was arrested on domestic violence charges. So it was a very, I would say, not too exciting pregnancy. But I stuck it out. You know, I knew I had a child to raise, and no matter what happened with his dad and I, I was determined to raise this child. And I don't know. It just became a point where I depended on him so much, you know, emotionally, physically, mentally, financially, that I couldn't leave him. At this point, I think he had just done so much to diminish my self-esteem and, you know, my self-worth. Here I was pregnant. I didn't know what I was going to do. I certainly didn't want to be a single mom and raising this child on my own. So I was just continuously always trying to do everything to make him happy. He really, really had me believing that the only reason he was so angry all the time was because his ex-wife was crazy. You know, she would always keep him from his son. She had endured several years of abuse from him as well. So there was plenty of police reports and plenty of documented, you know, domestic assaults that he'd been arrested for. And so I was always on his side fighting her. You know, if she would leave us alone, then then he could be a better man and be a better father. So it was, just anything I could do to stick up for him, no matter what anybody said, I was always trying to do it. And then all of a sudden, my world just revolved around everything that I could do to make him happy. And in his eyes, it was always I was unhappy, and he was doing everything he could to make me happy. So it was just this cycle of abuse, you know, where I was always constantly trying to fix myself to make myself better because I had upset him, or, you know, how could I make his life easier to make my life easier? And it really is a sick cycle. And again, I'd have to say once a woman can get out of that cycle and step back from it and really start to get some help and therapy and realize that it's not her fault, that's the main thing, is just to get away from these guys and realize it's not your fault. You're not the one with the problem. Any relationship that he was in with any women, they've always ended with domestic violence charges. I have to say, I know so many other women that have dated him before I met him, and during the course of our courtship that he's dated, that he shared similar characteristics of his behavior with. So these men don't change.
Right.
They change us, for sure. They definitely change us. They make you weaker before they make you stronger. I mean, that's just the way I see it. I was a strong, you know, independent, self-employed woman when I met this man, and he definitely took everything from me. So they definitely will make you weak, and then you'll get it back. You'll be
right.
Strong again.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. So let's go back just a little bit back to your childhood. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up and how you grew up, and did you have both parents, and did you ever see domestic violence as a child growing up?
I grew up in the Kansas City area, born and raised. I grew up with my mom and my stepdad. My mom had 2 more children with my stepdad, so I was an only child of my mom and my biological father. My stepdad was exactly what my ex is.
Wow.
Very, very charming, very manipulative, you know, kind of swept my mom off of her feet, you know, from what I remember. We grew up in a, you know, a nice middle-class neighborhood, had a swimming pool. You know, we were the first ones in the neighborhood with a swimming pool, so we always had, you know, everything before all the other neighbors did. So we were taken care of, but behind closed doors, it wasn't the fairy tale that the outside world may have seen. My stepdad was very abusive to my mom, was physically abusive to me, but more in a sense that he abused his power of discipline. So I remember growing up, and he was so proud of his paddle that was a 2x4 with holes drilled in it that we would get on our butt. He was, to me, a little overboard. You know, you don't spank a kid with a 2x4 with holes drilled in it.
Right.
He was very abusive to my little brother. My little sister seemed to have kind of somehow, for whatever reason, gotten around suffering a lot of abuse. But he was very abusive to me and my little brother and my mom. So I witnessed a lot of fighting, a lot of abuse between him and her. My mom got out of the marriage when I was about 13. And, you know, I just remember him kind of dragging her through hell. Not nearly as bad as the hell that I've been dragged through with my ex. So I would say there was probably a good 7 years of my life that I grew up and I witnessed a lot of domestic violence in the home. But it was always, you know, my stepdad would always try to fix it by, you know, putting in a pool, or we'd get a puppy, or, you know, we'd go on a vacation, or, you know, he was trying to buy back everybody's affection.
Right.
So that was kind of my childhood. I reconnected with my biological father when I was 13 and, you know, got out of that situation, was, you know, had a very healthy relationship with my dad. I married when I was 23 years old to a man that I ended up having two children with, and it was a normal, happy, you know, everything was fine marriage. And then I got divorced, and I don't know, I just kind of somehow got mixed up with the wrong guy.
Right.
But, you know, I would say that I think that everything happens for a reason. I have an amazing 3-year-old son out of it, and I feel like I, you know, have more of a purpose to my life now other than just, you know, being a mother to my children. You know, I really feel like I have the ability and the power to help women get out of relationships. I've been through it, I've lived through it, and I want to be able to help women understand and help them with the tools that they need to get out of a relationship. I know that it's not easy. I've seen several counselors before, and, you know, not to put anybody down, but it's hard when you go see a therapist, a counselor, and they just kind of sit there shaking their head yes. You know, they understand, but really they don't. They haven't lived through it. Just because you have a bachelor's degree in psychology doesn't make you the best you know, psychologist to go speak with battered women. I feel like you need to be able to have the real life experience of living through it. So my hope is to be able to help, you know, empower women, share stories, even if it's through just, you know, smaller support groups. I did get involved with this production company here in the Phoenix area that has been gracious enough to kind of take me on as pro bono work, and we've turned my story into this idea of these domestic violence videos, a series of videos, and our hope is that we can show them to different people to help just empower victims everywhere.
Right.
So we've kind of got started on that. We did one, and, you know, I have been super busy with some other things going on in my life, and things that my ex is throwing at me that I'm trying to get through right now. But my hope is to get these videos off the ground, and we'll start shooting the second one really soon. And that one's really going to be just videos of assaults, a lot of the assaults that I caught on tape, audio of the assaults, audio of 911 tapes that I have, and just a little bit more, you know, little pieces of my story of, you know, incidents that happen here and there.
Right.
Just from, based on from different police reports that I have. Sorry. So that'll be more of a high impact, you know, this is my story. I want to get it out. I want to share it. I do firmly believe that one of the things abusers don't want is for people to know the truth. And
right.
From many people I know that we've known, he's got them tricked into believing that I'm crazy and I'm this and I'm that. And, you know, he just doesn't want my story to get out. He's always wanted to keep me quiet. And I've just decided that I'm not going to keep quiet anymore. So to get this story out will be good because it's all legitimate police reports, police audio, police 911 tapes. There's nothing in there that will, you know, publicly display his name or his face. But it's important that people get their story out, that people let other people know that they've survived or they're trying to survive, they're trying to get out of this relationship. I do believe domestic violence is a silent epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me, the more people I talk to about my story or about this video, they just, like, come out and, like, almost everybody I meet has a story, men and women. And I have to tell you that since I've been to Phoenix, probably half the men that I've talked to have been in domestic violence relationships with their female partners. So,
right.
You know, I realize that, you know, my organization is helping to empower women, but I have a lot of men that have approached me and said, hey, I'm in a bad relationship. I'm in an abusive relationship. So
I
definitely applaud these men because the men that I have talked to, they're doctors, they're attorneys, they're professionals that are embarrassed to come out and say that they're in an abusive relationship. So it happens all over. It doesn't matter your race, your religion, your color, anything. But I do believe it's a silent epidemic that just not a lot of people talk about. They want to just kind of push it under the rug and hope it'll go away and not help. And that's not how we put an end to this. You know, we have to talk about it more. We have to get it out. We have to make these abusers accountable for their actions. And
exactly.
You know, unfortunately, so many women can't get out of the relationship. Either they will be killed or they just don't have the strength because of years of abuse to get out. They've just been beaten down emotionally, physically. They don't have anywhere to go. So I
right.
get it. I understand. I mean, that's the position that he's put me in, that I have nothing. You know, really, he's taken everything from me. You know, I have no money. I don't have a home right now. Everything I have is back in Kansas City. So I've just been kind of relying on friends out here in Phoenix until I can get back to Kansas City. But right now, this I may be kind of jumping ahead of myself, but he has my son. He's having
right.
for
and
about
that's
four.
What I was going to say, Christy.
Okay.
You know, you had a beautiful home. You had, you know, a beautiful,
yeah.
I mean, you had things, but things
yeah.
are not what is important, you know,
exactly.
in these kind of relationships. Money. I mean, it's hard not to have money, and it's easy to stay with somebody that can take you on trips and provide for you, and you don't
yeah.
have to work and worry and on and on. But we have to remember that, you know, that things are just things, and things
yeah.
come and go. But when we get to people, and that's what you were just going to say, he has your son. He took your son a little over a month ago, I think, after your last court date. So
yeah.
let the listeners know what's going on with that.
Well, we had separated in Kansas City, and we had went to court and filed a parenting plan with the court that we ended up never abiding by. We moved out here to Arizona together. Like I said, this was supposed to be like our fresh start. We thought if we, or he had me believing that if we moved out here away from all the drama, you know, his ex, my ex, all the drama that was out there, all the police that knew us, that we would have a fresh start. So we did. We found a beautiful home out in Phoenix, and we moved out here just right out a year ago this month. And this was supposed to be our fresh start, our big, beautiful million-dollar home, just me and him and our son. I left my other children in Kansas City and my business and my home, my family, everybody. And just shortly after we moved out here, he began abusing me again. It started to become more abusive to our three-year-old son. And just 2 months after we moved out here, you know, I told myself, when we move out here, if he assaults me, I'm calling the police, I'm going to have him arrested, I'm going to have him prosecuted. This is it for me. And I did that. He assaulted me on October 25th, just 2 months after we moved here. I caught the entire assault on a flip video that was hiding under a bedroom pillow. So the entire assault was caught on tape. It was part of police evidence. He was arrested. I successfully prosecuted him. He was prosecuted and convicted on April 23rd. The months leading up to this assault that just occurred, April 1st, he kept trying to get me to not show up for court. You know, every month they would have a pretrial conference, and, you know, I showed up for the first one, and then the second one, you know, he whisked me out of the country with him on a business trip for a couple of months. While we were out of the country, he assaulted me several times there and my son. So I promptly came back to the Phoenix area. I came back into the country. I showed up for court on March 23rd, and I told him while he was still out of the country, you know, his attorney told him that I showed up for court, and he was furious with me. You know, I've given you all this money. I took you on this extravagant trip with me for work. I've fed your bank account. You know, I've done all this stuff. I don't know why you're showing up at court. And I told him basically just that the money wasn't important. My life was more important. My son's life was more important. But I just wanted him to be accountable for his actions, that he knows he assaulted me. It's on tape. And I wanted him to be held accountable for his actions. So March 23rd, we had court. He didn't show up court because he was still out of the country. And he came back from out of the country on March 28th. And we had a brief discussion that we would separate very soon, that I would get my own place, that he could keep the big fancy house, that I would leave. So I was leaving everything. You know, I came out here with the hopes that we would have a new life in this big, beautiful house, and here I was going to be homeless and with a three-year-old. So a few days after that, the talk about us separating, and he knew that I was really sticking to it, we were out at dinner, and he wasn't very happy about the fact that I was willing to give up everything that he had given me. He assaulted me in the car, punched me in the face, tried throwing me out of the moving vehicle going down the highway. I was able to call 911 and caught the entire assault on the 911 tape. So he's currently on felony bond right now, awaiting trial for that. April 23rd, I got the conviction on him for his October assault. And just recently, on July 17th, I went before the Yavapai County judge and pled my case, you know, as to why I thought he shouldn't be allowed to leave the state for work. Shortly after that court date, he went and picked up my son from school. He hasn't attempted since this assault to make any contact with him, to exercise any visitation, nothing at all. He went to my son's daycare on July 17th and picked him up. and I've not seen him since. He's threatened during several recorded phone conversations that I'm not going to see my son again unless I drop the assault charges that are pending against him right now. So I'm working on getting my son back right now. We're trying to find where he's at. I have no idea where he's at with my three-year-old son. And he's just basically keeping him from me out of spite. He's angry. He's using him as a tool. And, I think it's sick. I don't know. There's only so much I can do or the police can do. So right now it's just kind of a set and wait. And I don't know.
Well, I know that it's got to be hard. And, you know, I know that you've gone through a lot. I know that you're still going through a lot. And, you know, as bad as it is, I just know that through your testimony and through everything that you've gone through and are still going through, that you will be able to make an impact in this world for other women by sharing your story and by speaking out on it. You know, a lot of women will look up to you and your organization, making awareness for women to know that you don't have to live like that. You know, you don't have to get smacked and beat and pushed down and put down and talked to. You know, it's just, it's horrible for anyone. And, you know, your story is, it's just so powerful.
The thing. I think a lot of the warning signs were there. And I really hope and pray that we can start teaching younger women, because I really think that there's so much abuse in the home that maybe, you know, girls don't see these as warning signs. I don't think that I saw a lot of what he did as a warning sign, because that's how my stepdad would make up for, you know, being abusive to myself or my mom. You know, he'd apologize, he'd buy us something, you know, he'd do this or that. You just can't take the charm. I mean, there's a difference between charming and loving, and this is not a loving relationship. If it happens once, you leave. You get out. You make a report. You follow through with pressing charges. Whether this is a man that you've dated for a month or a year, you know, these people, men and women, they have to start, you know, having a record of this. And there's so much that I went through that by the time I really realized that I was in an abusive relationship, I had no self-esteem. And when he nearly killed me on April 1st, I have to tell you, I was just to the point where I was ready to die. I already felt like I was dead. I had nothing to live for. I was away from my family. I couldn't get back. I had no access to money. You know, he'd cut me off because, you know, I was going to prosecute. But at some point, I just decided I had to put my foot down and stand up for myself. And I really thought that I was doing that by showing up at court. I didn't really realize it until later when I had been assaulted in the car that I didn't have to die. And, you know, I remember telling 911, you know, they need to find me. You have to find me. He's going to kill me. And just begging the 911 operator to, you know, to get the police. But, you know, I'd been hit in the face. I'm trying to tell them, you know, where we're driving. I'm looking at different landmarks. So it was very scary. You know, I've been spit on in my face so many times. I've been pushed downstairs. I've had my hair pulled. I've been punched in the face. And this is just, you know, so many women go through this, and so many people. You know, he's even convinced so many people that I'm crazy, that none of this has ever happened. And it just, it blows my mind that this does happen to women. And people have to listen. And you have to have the courage to get out. And you may not have all the support in the world. And you may be beaten down. You may be just totally broken. But you can do it. And
exactly.
It is, gosh darn it, the hardest thing that I've ever had to do in my entire life, and there's not one day that goes by that this man doesn't try to make my life miserable. But you just have to keep fighting. You have to surround yourself by people that do understand, that do care. And I've really found that, you know, that's the main thing that's gotten me through this. is if you don't add any sort of value to my life to help me and empower me and be a positive force in my life, then I don't want you in my life. I don't want anybody to bring drama. I don't want anybody to bring hate. If you bring doubt to me, anybody that doubts my story, they're out of my life. I know my story, and I know when I talk to other women that have been through this that I believe everything they say, because women in my situation don't just make this stuff up just for the heck of it. And the same thing with men. I know it's taken a lot for a lot of these men to come out with their stories. And
exactly.
And it's funny because I've met a lot of women that I'll end up, there's been actually three situations where I've had girlfriends, girls that I've known or acquaintances, and I've gotten either an email or a phone call or a text from their male partner just saying, hey, I really need to talk to you. And every time it's been, hey, I'm in an abusive relationship and I don't know what to do. So
right.
Then I kind of feel like I'm in a little bit of a bind because this is a girl that I've, thought was my friend, and I see that she's abusing, her boyfriend or husband, and I'm just like, wow, it blows my mind of how many people are really going through this. And
right.
I know I can't heal the world and fix everything, but if I can just help people to empower them to get out of these relationships, then that's my only hope. If I can save one woman's life, or just empower one woman, I've gone on. I missed. I think you personally know. Right after I got signed up for school out here is when I was assaulted in April because he didn't want me to get my education. I was 147 hours behind in school,
right.
And everybody thought for sure I was going to drop out. But I'm due to graduate next Friday on my birthday.
Congratulations.
I'm graduating.
I know it's been a struggle
else.
And lots of long hours, but great
yeah,
job.
Yeah, I've been doing about 13 hours a day. And
yes, you are.
I can't let him win. I'm going to, finish what I started with my education. And, so that's
and that's
good.
How
that's
you win. You keep going.
Busy.
You keep moving
yeah,
forward.
Yeah, you got to keep going. You got to keep going. You got to keep going.
Christy, we have several callers on the line, and I want to get to everybody. So let's take a call here. We're going to go to the last four digits, 6318. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Christy. Hi, Lucinda.
Hello.
All right,
hello.
Sis. This is Serena.
Hi, Serena. Hi,
I'm just calling to tell you that I think what you're doing is a great job, and I'm proud of you.
Thank
and, let you know that, what all of us told you when we were there about supporting you and helping you out in any way that we can is that's who we are, and that's what we're here to do.
Right.
And, actually, I'll be coming
back
to
Arizona.
You
came to
Arizona. Week.
You gave five sisters. You know that.
I told you that. I will be back next
thing,
Thursday,
like,
so I may be able to
just,
make your graduation on
some,
Friday.
You're wanting
huh?
some laser work done, huh?
Well, maybe we might be able to be there for your graduation, which would be great.
Well, that'll be awesome. That'll be,
I have to be up
be
in
awesome.
Sedona for the wedding this weekend, but... Definitely very excited for you to graduate.
I can't believe it.
I wanted to say also, there's kind of a lot of fuzziness going on, so I can't really understand some of what you guys are saying. But, I went to school, not just high school. I grew up with a group of girls, about six of us, that grew up literally from, like, kindergarten through high school together. And I don't know what the statistics are as far as what the percentage of people that are in abusive relationships are, and you may be able to tell us all that, but half of us, three of our group of girls as adults became in abusive relationships, and two of them, ended up marrying these people and not having the abuse done to them until after they were married, and then had to struggle with getting out of those relationships.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, knowing these women as they grew up, these are not the kind of women that you would ever say would have been in an abusive relationship.
Yeah,
you know, and I was one that always said, you know, you put one finger on me and you're out of here. You know, and
yeah.
I still say that to this day. And, of course, I have a great husband. But I know that these women feel the same way. So it's kind of a question of, you know, how do you let yourself get into that position? And you may have answered it by them, you know, lowering your self-esteem to where it's so low that you don't know what to do. And then, you know, being in a married position where they have the control and you feel like there's nothing else you can do but stay. But, you know, all three of them were lucky enough to eventually get out of the relationship. One of them in particular, I know, was not the kind of person that abused to where anything showed.
Mm-hmm.
But he would abuse her.
And that's what a lot of people know how to hurt you so it doesn't show to the public. Yeah.
That's exactly what he did. He abused
mm-hmm.
her, like, on the inner arms, the lower, you know, the thighs,
mm-hmm.
the areas that he knew were going to be covered. And she would have
right.
bruises and stuff there, but she would have to cover everything up. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so there's women out there that are going through that, too. And just because you don't see it physically doesn't mean it's not happening.
My Raising Awareness for Women Facebook page, it actually got changed, but the main profile picture was the Barbie doll with the black eye.
Right.
Because that's scary, you know, that everybody has this appearance like, oh, she would never be in an abusive relationship, but, you know, Barbie
right.
can get a black eye.
Right.
You know, but they do hide it. I've met so many women in my business, my laser clinic, that will come to me for services, and once they get in the room and the doors close and they start talking, and it breaks my heart, because at the time I was meeting these women, and when I first started my laser clinic, I was doing tattoo removals for a battered women's shelter, and then I ended up getting into an abusive relationship. So it was just very ironic that now I want to turn my clinic into a place where I can help women in a situation like this just feel beautiful, get tattoos removed, get facials, get laser treatment.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a whole nother show. But yeah, I mean, just this it's hidden, and it's a silent epidemic that, you know, we've got autism walks, we've got breast cancer walks, we've got, you know, all these different walks and organizations and fundraisers, but there's just nothing out there that is, you know, full-fledged, loud and out there about speaking out against domestic violence and empowering women and men. And we really, really, really need to just put an end to the silent epidemic of domestic abuse. And I'm hoping I can get out there and start shouting it out to the world.
Well, you know, your organization that you've started and you having this voice, and I think it's going to be spectacular. And I don't want you to go away. I want to help you. I want to be,
well,
you know,
I don't know.
Be able
he's got
to.
Me. He's got me so tied up with cord tape. I'll probably be here for a while, but I want to have a voice. I've got a great production team here that's working on these videos for me. So, you know, I'll probably be here for a little while longer, but I got to get back to Kansas City. It's where my home is.
Right.
Well,
and once
one
you
of
get
my...
all those videos done, too, we want to get them on our shows in Cincinnati,
yeah.
and we want to get them out worldwide, because it is
yeah.
definitely a positive, right. awesome message.
Well, and I do want to say that, you know, an abuser's main goal is to keep you quiet and keep the abuse silent, because they do not want to be exposed, and they will go to the ends of the earth to shut you up. And that's exactly what my abuser has done. It's exactly what he continues to do. And I've decided to go about it in a way that I'm going to get empowered by the more people that I meet that help me be empowered. I'm not, again, I'm not shouting out his name. I'm not shouting out, you know, shouting out his face. He knows who he is.
And,
exactly.
Not, you know, I'm not the one that will judge him, you know, when Judgment Day comes. But my story needs to get out because it's the story of so many other women and men. So
exactly.
It has to start somewhere. So if everybody starts getting out their story, you know, again, even if it helps one person say, I'm in a relationship like that, I have to get out. Then get
exactly.
out. Go to wherever you can. Know you're going to go through hell and back because I'm going through hell and back. But I firmly, strongly believe every day that I wake up, rock bottom is the solid foundation in which I'm going to rebuild my future. So he's taken everything from me. He can't take any more, but he can't take my spirit. And it'll always be mine. And I found my voice. And I believed that years ago, my soul detached from me to save itself from being exposed to this abuse. And I found it. I found my soul, I found my spirit, and this is what I want to do with my life, is share my story and help other women. And I can't even believe the amazing people. I mean, like you said, I've got 5 new sisters now.
That's right.
You do.
So everything's happened for a reason. Just everybody keeps coming into my life exactly when I need them here. And people are leaving my life exactly when I need them to. And this has been a wonderful journey. It really, really... I don't look at it as so sad and depressing and, oh, my gosh, I'm never going to live through this. Once you start to get out of it and surround yourself by the right people and have the right attitude, it's amazing the changes that have come in my life. So I stay positive. Okay. I know I'm going to see my son, and I know that he'll be held accountable for his actions. And until then, I'm just going to do what I can to let my voice be heard. And now it's on the radio, so it's going to be out there.
That's right. And you can replay this 24/7 forever. It'll
good.
Be archived.
Good.
Well, Christy, I know there's a phone call waiting, but I just wanted to tell you, I think you're doing a great job. I think
you
have found your voice, and I think that this is exciting, and I think I know you will survive, and I know you'll get your son back, and that we're praying for you, and I'll
thank
see you next week. Love you.
Yay. Sounds good. I love you too.
And I'll continue to listen to the rest of the show. So we'll
all
talk
right,
to you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Serena. Love you. Talk to you later. And we have a few more callers, so please be patient with us. We are going to get to all of you. I do see you here. Our next caller, we're going to get the call. The last 4 digits are 6008 from Dayton. You're on the air.
Yes, hello, this is Octavia. How you doing this evening?
Hi there.
Welcome.
Good.
Well, good. I'm very much moved by your story, and I do too hear your voice. And just know that our prayers are with you. But I do have one question though. Was there ever an Amber Alert?
Well, I don't want to get into that too much right now because we're working on certain things.
Okay.
So we got the sun thing under control. We are we're under control at this point.
Okay.
So
okay.
Again,
I don't
want to say too much because
okay.
I don't know,
I understand.
You know who or what's listening. But I'm definitely confident that my son's going to be back in my arms within the next 72 hours.
Okay. Well, all right. We're going to celebrate your victory.
So, and
thank
let's pray
you.
For that. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Thank
well,
you.
Listen, continue listening and be blessed.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you so much for calling in. Okay. We're going to go to our next caller here, Ebony and Press. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Hi.
Hello.
I'm actually
welcome
listening
to
from
show.
The UK. Yeah, it's 5 o'clock in the UK, and I'm just up late having my insomnic kind of moment, and I happen to be listening into your show. So just wanted to say hi. I do have a show on Blog Talk, but I was really interested in your story because I went through that experience myself probably. Years with someone who was very abusive, very, very. And, you know, I got out, got the other end, and like you were saying, you know, when you get your power back, you know, it's a great place to be in.
Yeah.
And I know someone was asking, like, you know, were there amber signs or whatever, but, you know, I think it's a slowly, that people slowly break you down, and it is that you start off thinking that actually, I'm not that person. No one could do that to me. You know, I think if you step outside yourself and you look at who you were at that time, you probably did have that thinking, oh, never me, never me, that would not be me. But the interesting thing is that, you know, you go there so quickly, and when you're there, it's hard to get out. And even the people that are around you that may see you there, you know, whatever they say, you're not hearing it anyway, because you're stuck in this place with someone who has the, you know, has really taken your power.
It's, you know, I call it like quicksand. It's like the relationship is like being in quicksand. The longer you stay, the harder it is to get out. And people just don't understand. I've had friends say, why do you want to put him in prison? Why don't you just leave him? What's wrong with you? You know, and I said, you know, if he's so abusive, why do you stay? And I said, okay, you've been married for, 6 years? You've got this picture-perfect marriage. Mm-hmm. What would you do tomorrow if your husband just hit you or spit in your face and gave you a black eye and apologized the next day? You've been married 6 years. Everything's been fine. You have 3 kids, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Are you going to leave him? And they shut up. They don't say anything.
Yeah.
You know, or some of them are like, oh, yeah, I would leave him. I would leave him in a heartbeat. No, you wouldn't. It's not that easy to just leave somebody that you have all these ties with.
Yeah.
So it's devastating.
I agree.
It's totally life-changing. It's not just, oh, you get married, you get abused, you get divorced, you move on your merry way, and then you find somebody better the next time. It will change your entire route of your life. Whatever you thought you were headed for in your life, it's
going to
totally be a detour.
Yeah. And the good thing is that, you know, you can get out. And that's my story. You can get out and you can get your life back. And you can go on and do great things. And I'm doing amazing things now that I've amazed myself that I can do. And, you know, I ran a marathon this year in April. And, you know, that was the biggest surprise for me that I could really drag myself around 26 miles. But, you know,
congratulations.
That's amazing.
You. And that's what you do when you get your confidence back. And I see people now who say to me, I don't even recognize you. Like, you know, you've dropped 20 years from, you know, having left that person. And that's what you do. You know, you will see a different you. You'll see a more confident you. People will see a person, you know, with all their dreams and aspirations, being able to realize them because you don't have that issue in your life. So, you know, I wish you the best. And so happy and, you know, proud of you for qualifying your, you know, getting that qualification that you want and graduating because it's a start of a really great life for you. Just hang in
there
and stay strong. Yeah.
Well, congratulations to you too for making it through. You're a survivor. That's awesome.
Oh,
I believe we're a part of the special group, survivors. So
absolutely.
Good for you.
Yeah, and I wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank you.
The program's great. Thank you so much for putting it up. You know.
Thank you so much for joining
us. Yeah, and I'm so glad I woke up just in time to hear it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, okay. Take care, ladies.
Thank you.
I'll keep listening.
Thank you. Okay. Well, Boyd, you there?
Yes, I'm just sitting here vibing with the ladies.
Did you want to chime in on anything?
Just listening to the message. You know, what I want to ask you, Christy, you know, what did you get out the, you know, the book that you read of mine, the Never Hit a Woman book? Can you tell the viewers what message did you get from reading that book?
You know, the book was good because to me it had everything, all of everything that I needed, that I really think a woman, any woman could read and benefit from. Adolescents, you know, preteens, teenagers, anybody who hasn't even been in an abusive relationship, just to start from very rock bottom on, even if you've never been in an abusive relationship, of what you could look for, signs that, you know, a loved one may be in an abusive relationship. So I think the book was absolutely phenomenal in just outlining all the different aspects of the cycle of domestic violence, the warning signs to look for whether you're in an abusive relationship or not, like I said. So great, great book. I really enjoyed it. I actually, when I got it from Lucinda when I was at school, I locked myself in a room and just sat and read it the entire night. And I was telling her, I just recently left the house you know, for him to have. I moved everything out of it. And the cups that she gave me that say never hit a woman, I left them on the counter in the kitchen for him to have. So he's got those nice cups. I don't know if he's going to use them or not, but
I want to get the message anyway, right?
Yeah, well, you know, the bottom line of it all, you know, when it comes down to it all, you know, I don't feel that, you know, nobody should have to, you know, be in no kind of abusive relationships for real.
Nobody,
you know what I'm saying?
Nobody should,
whether
yeah.
you're a man or a woman. And, you know, I've been sitting here listening to everything, and my wife would tell you, you know, before I really speak on something, I will really pay attention when I won't be saying anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I understand when people say it's hard to leave this, it's hard to leave that, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
with me as my own individual, nothing has never been hard for me to leave anything. I don't care if we get $10 million together.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you five, I'm going to take five, and I'll see you later. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? That's just the type of man I am. I'm not going to argue with nobody. I ain't going to be in no abusive relationship. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? And I'm glad that I get the type of wife that I have, because she stands on her own two feet. Even though we married, she got her own money. She do her own thing with her own money. And I feel
yeah.
every woman should have her own money. Because
exactly.
you should be in control of your money. She get up
exactly.
and go to work for that every day. That's not me and her money. That's her money, because she go work for it. You know what I'm saying? So I think if men understand that in life, I think a lot of men will learn that when you get money together, then that's our money. But if she getting up every day going to work, that's her money. And I think that's the way life should be.
Exactly.
But a lot of cats don't understand that. They don't boost their woman up or their wife up to come independent and do things. You know, a man want to have a hold on you, like
exactly.
he own you or control you. And,
exactly.
and that ain't the way life should be. So I thank God for the type of missus I have, you know. And
yeah,
I applaud you. I applaud you for going to work, going to school, getting yourself back in order. And I applaud you for knowing now it's about self-reliance. It's not
yeah.
about no man. It's not about
exactly.
no husband. No boyfriend. At the end of the day, it's about what Chrissy can do for Chrissy. And that's the bottom
right.
line.
We need to start empowering younger women, because I think that it really needs to start at a younger age, so they realize their self-worth and that they have to
yes.
be able to have that kind of attitude.
Yes.
And we know for a fact that domestic violence and abuse happens to, you know, young kids in middle school, in junior high school.
Yeah.
You know, it is really bad with date, you know, kids dating. The jealousy, the name calling, the putting down of the
yeah.
you know, the jealousy, where were you, who were you talking to, on and on and on. I mean, it does really, really start young, and that's trends, you know, and whether they're seeing it from mom and dad or auntie and uncle or whoever, you know, we have to let them know that those things are not right. They're not good.
Yeah.
They're not of God. They're not peaceful. They're not, you know, they're not healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So we applaud you for doing what you're doing. And like I said, I take my hat off to every woman across the country that stands up and be her own woman. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you have to be, period.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And it's good to have a partner to work with and be a unit and a team, but at the end of the day, you have to be self-reliant as well, you
exactly.
know, as well as a team player. So
and
you're doing the right
thing. And
that's
taken me several months to get that back. And like I said, he
yes.
he tries to chip away at it, but you know, the more he chips, he's just chipping away at a diamond underneath. You know, I'm just,
right.
I'm coming out, I'm
diamond
so much more empowered, and, you know, go ahead.
Right.
I got nothing left to lose, you know. Take
right.
what you want, because it's just material things.
Right.
You know,
you
can't have
back.
My spirit anymore.
You'll
you
get
know,
all
I,
that back.
I definitely want my son.
Yeah, well, that's coming back, too. But you'll get
yeah.
everything back that he took. But,
yeah.
you know, with this relationship, you know, I'm glad as a man point of view, I'm glad that you learned a valuable lesson that it's about self-reliance, period. You know what I mean? Whether it's a husband, a boyfriend, or what have you. And I'm glad that you got that point of view on focus now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But, boy, she had that before she met him.
No,
she had
that.
And he broke her down.
That's
what they're good at, though. They break you down. They call you names. They beat you up.
But he broke her down from that.
He did.
You feel what I'm saying? But the bottom line is that what I'm saying is that I'm proud of her because she's got that back and never
Definitely.
Let nobody else take that from
Definitely.
Her.
Definitely.
Feel
for
me?
Sure.
Because
once
them guys is gone and somewhere else messing up somebody else's life, your life is messed up. You know what I mean? So I'm glad that you got all of that back. So this is a valuable lesson, like I was saying. This is a valuable lesson that you learned.
Mm-hmm.
And God gave you a second chance. Because you
Definitely.
Could have been another statistic like all the other ladies in domestic violence who's done died from domestic violence, you know?
Definitely.
Or messed up, that can't speak,
or,
that can't kill,
or,
their mess.
Or doing
you know what I'm
time
saying?
In prison for you killing him, which
right.
happens all the time.
So,
women get abused
yeah,
all the time, and
off.
Then when they pull the trigger or get out that knife and kill their husband, then they go to jail. But they've been suffering all these years.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm down with you, you know what I mean, for what you have done endured and what you have done accomplished. So my hat is off to you, you know.
Well, I'm still
but
going.
Always,
I'm not stopping. I'm not going to tell you that there's not days that I'm not a little bit tired.
Right. Well,
we
know
you're tired,
tired,
but God's
yeah,
going to give you that strength.
Tired.
And I know that by you coming on our show, it's the first radio show you've ever done, and I believe
yeah.
that. I believe, I know you're tired today, and I know you've been through a lot
yeah.
this past week, and I believe that, you know, you're just empowering yourself even greater, just, you know,
yeah.
even tonight, every little step you take, you know, you're raising
Bottom
awareness
line.
For women, and that is your goal,
yes.
raising awareness
yes.
for women.
Yeah.
Everybody,
so
go to Facebook
kind of...
and get on Christy's page,
yeah.
and the Facebook page is called, if you just put in Raising Awareness for Women, that's her page. And she's earning, she has a campaign for this first little video she did to earn money to continue her documentary. So if you can donate $5, $10, $20, anything you can donate towards Christy's campaign, please do so.
Yeah, and all of that money is just going towards the production team. You know, they're spending all of their time on this. And they know I don't have the money to be spending for this. So that just goes to help them with their time or whatever expenses they have towards the second video that we're going to shoot. The first video you'll see on the Indiegogo site is just like a minute and a half long. The audio
yeah.
on there is actually from he threw a brick through a window and it landed in my son's high chair. So that actual assault isn't the assault that took place on April 1st. They haven't released that 911 tape yet to me, so I'm not able to use it. But,
right.
you know, that video shows, you know, again, he no care or concern for throwing a brick through a window that landed in my son's high chair.
Exactly.
And your son was just in that high chair.
Yeah,
right
I just
that.
Taken him. Yeah, I just taken him out of there, and I caught the whole thing.
Right.
Caught the whole thing on video. So pretty
right.
amazing. Stuff I've been through and my kids have been through in the last 4 years, but you know it's going to make me stronger. I'm hoping to get this next video out soon,
right.
so we'll start working on that. And yeah, I just switched my Facebook page from a personal page to a, I guess like a fan page. I have
oh.
to apologize. I really don't know much about it, so I haven't really been on there much. When I changed it, it took all my pictures and comments and all
right.
of my posts off of there. So the Facebook is a little bit boring right now. But,
well,
I'm in school 13 hours a day trying to focus on that.
Well,
and
we know that it's
course,
a new page,
so.
Too. So
right.
everything
yeah.
takes
so,
time.
Yeah, any support I can get on Facebook is awesome. And I'm going to be on there, start getting on there and being a little more active on it here in about a week. So
right.
until then, you'll just have to bear with my boring little Facebook page.
It's all good, though, you know what I mean, because you got it out there, and you're making awareness. And I also want to iterate on your message tonight, too, Chris. It's like I've been in talks with people that's in law enforcement and people that's into chain changing laws and different things. And I got a lot of things on the flow dealing with this domestic violence thing, as far as guys who commit these domestic violence acts, and we know for a fact that they're guilty, and we ain't got to go through all that trying to find out if they're guilty. You know, I'm shooting for life sentences for these guys, because if you can pick a man up and send him to jail for one drug charge and give him a life sentence,
a nonviolent
drug charge
at that.
You know,
it does seem a little alarming. I've sat through court hearings and I've seen some of the other people they've been charged. And, you know, I would have to say, in a situation like domestic violence, one thing that I would honestly want to see happen is quicker hearings, because they can drag these hearings out for so long. The pretrial conferences and this and that, and, you know,
and by
the
that
attorney
time,
has to
already
continue.
Beat you half to
it's
death
been a
again.
Year. And,
right.
you know,
Look, by that
so
time,
many months
the lady
have gone
did.
By, and he's harassed me so much. He's done so much
right.
to just break me down. But that's where these women, they just get broke down. I really think
exactly.
quicker, you know, quicker hearings and quicker sentences to get these, you know,
right.
even if it's for 30 days that they're going to go to jail.
No,
get
we
in
can't
there.
Go for 30 days
get
because
them in
30
there.
Days
it
is
at
nothing.
At least gets them off of the back of the woman they've
right.
assaulted to, so she can gather herself.
Right, we want you in life. We want you in prison for life, not 30 days, not 30 hours.
Well, it's criminal
we
and physical assault, you know?
Yeah, I mean, just like a drug dealer. You know, people, it's a choice to go buy drugs from a drug house. Nobody is putting a gun in your head saying go buy drugs. But a woman is not having a choice. If a knucklehead wake up in the middle of the night, all of a sudden they get the beating on her, you know, that ain't no choice. I mean, you sleep and eat, you know what I mean? So the bottom line is that we all, men and women, we all must continue with a loud voice to change these laws and
exactly.
get people that mess up our women and our kids a life sentence. Because I don't feel a drug dealer should do no life sentence. I mean, he should go to jail if he get caught because it's wrong to sell drugs. But the first offense, I got a friend of mine just got out. He had never been in trouble a day in his life. He got caught with drugs for the very first time. Did 18 years. But he brought a guy.
Well, they gave him life,
that,
and he was able to overturn it after years.
Right. And here go a guy that's beat our women, taking our kids, domestic violence, throwing bricks through windows, almost killing his own, but he's still running around here. That's for prosperous in life, you know?
Yeah, right. I know. I agree. I don't get it, but I think, you know, through my organization, through other grassroots organizations, we can start to be loud. We can start to change laws. We can start to save lives. You know, 3 to 5 women every day in the United States die at the hands of an abusive relationship.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
that has to stop. 3 to 5
yes,
women every
right.
day. One of my friends on Facebook is the Domestic Violence Crime Watch. And it's just stories every single day of women and men that have been killed. But, I mean, these men are killing not only their partners, but they're killing kids. They're killing family members. And
the whole nine
when
yards.
Do we hear about that? We don't hear about this. I hear about some fires on the West Coast. I hear about this. I don't hear about all the 5 women that are going to have been killed by the time I go to bed tonight. And something has to be done about it. It has to stop. It's senseless. It's senseless.
Right, every day.
It blows my mind every day.
Right. Like I told my wife, that, you know, this was a year ago. I was like, we hear all about war on drugs. We hear about that all day, every day, you know. I say, but we never hear about domestic violence. We never hear about changing these laws with this domestic violence thing. You know what I'm saying? We never hear, not even people in the Congress, not even people in the Senate, not nobody. We hear nobody get up and talk about this domestic violence thing in the world. It's always we finna wage war on drugs, we finna cut this, we finna cut that. But what about all the women and the kids that's dying every day, all day? That's the point what we need to start speaking out on, and I speak loud about that. You know, I don't only speak about drugs, gangs, and violence. You know what I mean? It's about this domestic violence thing that's been out of control. It ain't just talk being out of control. It's been out of control.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
On that note, let me just put out here the National Domestic Violence Hotline number, and that is 1-800-799-SAFE, S-A-F-E, or the number 7233. So 1-800-799-SAFE. If you're having some trouble, give them a call.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, indeed.
And they can direct you to people in your own areas that you can also get connected with.
Yeah.
Correct. So is anything like to let the viewers know, Ms. Chrissy?
Do what? I didn't hear you, Rob.
Is anything else you would like the viewers to know?
I just want everybody out there that's listening to know that they have the choice. They have a voice, and you can get help. There's somebody out there that will help you. Call a shelter. Call the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Call a friend. Call a family member. If you're not safe, grab your babies and grab what you need and get out. Do what you can to be safe. You can do it. It's probably going to be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life, but don't be a prisoner of your possessions. Value your life, value your kids, and just get out and know that you can start a new life. It's going to be hard. You can do it. I'm always up to, you know, talk to anyone if they want to message me on Facebook on, you know, how they can do it, or just to be empowered. Just get out, start, you know, share your story. Just start telling whoever will listen. One of the main things, and I know it's scary for women, is to file for an order of protection and stick with it. Don't be afraid.
Yes.
And I realize it's a piece of paper and it's not bulletproof, but once you do that, it puts up a wall. And once they violate that, you call the police and you hide from them and you do what you have to do to be safe, and you let them violate it and you let them go to court and you let them go to jail for violating it and you let them do whatever it is they're going to do to try to make your life hell. But you have to give yourself that distance of no contact, and you have to do it for as long as you need to, just absolutely no contact. That, like I said, has really been the main thing, I think, that's really finally helped me get through this, was just really the no contact, not getting sucked back into, you know, what I did wrong or how I could fix things, or, you know, I'm such a horrible person, or, you know, I treated him so badly. No, you can't listen to it anymore. You're strong enough. You can do it. And just get help. Call the police, call a shelter, call a friend, and just get out.
Amen.
When you were getting out and you were here away from family and friends, did you find a support group? Did you find an organization here in Arizona that you turned to? And if so, who was it?
You know what? I didn't. I would have to say that, honestly, I started school. I started to get my aesthetics license, and that's when I, you know, met all of the girls. school became my sanctuary. I was at school, you know, whenever I wasn't in a prosecutor's office or a courtroom, or, but I just decided that this was something I needed to work on myself, you know, my inner self. Like, why do I keep making this mistake of this cycle? Why do I keep going back? So a lot of it was just more self-help. I did a lot of meditating. At night, I would just go home and sit by the pool and sit under the stars and just, you know, realize that I needed to help myself figure out why I was making these mistakes. And, you know, through that, I've, you know, started making more friends at school and making more connections with positive people. And so I can't say that I, you know, I went to one support group or, you know, kind of had help from anybody. I did get some great legal help through the Diana Holly Center for Family Justice. They heard my story and were able to get me hooked up with an attorney that was able to help me through a few legal issues in the beginning. So they were great support. So I definitely want to commend them, give them a little shout out, the Diana Holly Center. So they've been awesome. I realize, you know, women don't have the opportunity that I've had, but I only feel like I've been given the opportunity, and it's come to me because I've had a voice And I chose to surround myself with certain people and get my story out there. So, you know, if you don't have money to get an attorney or you don't have, you know, a place to go, you have to just start putting yourself in situations where you will be able to be empowered to do that.
Yes, indeed.
And, you know,
keep speaking out and somebody will hear you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And that's all I did. I started, you know, putting stuff on my Facebook, you know, little things that wouldn't be anything too drastic or get me in trouble for, you know, saying anything bad about him because Lord knows he's got rights. So, you know, on my Raising Awareness for Women, I've actually had that Raising Awareness for Women page since December of 2010. And, you know, we break up, we get back together, I would shut it down. You know, he didn't know that I had it. So I didn't really even, you know, come out and, like, I'm absolutely not shutting down my Raising Awareness for Women page ever again because it helps me to get through a lot of this. I was connecting with a lot of women through there and making a lot of great connections. So I definitely would tell people to reach out on Facebook to the different groups and organizations. Start your own page, you know, start your own survivor page. And, you know, I've seen a lot of that a lot more since I started the Raising Awareness for Women. So I think that helps women to get out and connect with other people instead of, you know, you may not have the ability to go to a meeting every Wednesday night and be in a group with people and you got to listen to everybody else's story. You know, everybody has their own unique story and everybody has what they're going through. And everybody has their own way that they're going to heal and get through it. So mine has been to stay active on this and start my video campaign and let people know that, you know, I'm Christy DiMaggio and I'm a survivor and I want to tell my story and I want to empower other women. So that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Amen.
That's what's happening, you know.
Well,
hey, what I want to do, Christy, I want you to just listen to something right quick. I want to bring Miss Clay back in for a few minutes and
Okay. You're on
here.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Rev?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to bring Reverend Clay back in, and I wanted you to let him know, Reverend Clay, about me speaking up yesterday and how well that went and how your organization took that and about my coming this Sunday again. I want you to bring that out to the viewers.
Okay, fantastic. Just let me start here from beginning. There's a gentleman, he's my brother. We were ordained together at our church, which is New Fellowship Baptist Church in Dayton, Ohio. He had told us about a gentleman that he had met, and he wanted him to get a chance to come up and join him for service, but he said that he would get in contact with them and have him to come. Well, that was Mr. Boyd. Mr. Boyd came to our church on last Sunday and merely gave his testimony and brought some of his books with him, The Streets Don't Love You Back and Never Hit a Woman. All of them were sold that morning after service. And mind you, in our congregation, we have maybe about 12 members or so, but it's a very close-knit family. So we were just so moved by that. I began having constant communication with Mr. Boyd, and he asked me about joining the movement, and I can't tell you how excited I am because no one has initiated to assist Mr. Boyd here in the Dayton area. So that's what we're going to try to do to help out Lucinda, give her a little bit of a break as well. I just can't say enough about Richard. He's coming back this Sunday to our church. I mean, it's so profound that we're not even going to deliver a message from the Bible that morning. He will be delivering the message about his mission, and we have flyers that are going to be passed out over the weekend. This is just a spur-of-the-moment thing, and, you know, we just open up our doors and say, whomever come, let them come. There's a message to be gained, and Robert will be bringing forth the message this coming Sunday. And Yay!
Too bad I can't be there to hear it.
Oh, yes. Oh, I am just so excited and overwhelmed. And also, it's amazing how we really click together. I'm a retired teacher for Dayton Public Schools, and I'm an educator for life. So I love young people. That's what I did. That's what I do. And being a teacher for 25 years in the system, I've seen so many students fall through the cracks. It's now more common to be the clown, to be the one to join the gang, to have to belong to something in order to gain self-confidence. And they've fallen through the cracks. I mean, people who could have been the next Michael Jordan, you know, but they get caught with the gang life and all the money and everything. So they end up falling through the cracks. And if there's anything that I could do to really help out the movement, that's what we're willing to do because it's needed here in Dayton, Ohio.
And we thank you so much for bringing Rob up to speak to your congregation. And, you know, and that's what we have to do everywhere, just get out and get the message out, you know, and educate the youth and adults about gangs, drugs, violence, and abuse. And there it entails so many different things, and it's kind of like a big circle. It encompasses
so we're
many
really
things,
excited
but we definitely
about it.
Need to educate the youth. And we're really happy that you guys have gotten him involved while he's back home.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Even before I put my little blurb in about a situation that I'm asking the movement to look into, I need to give a hallelujah shout-out to my brother, Reverend Christopher Gibbs, who's in Cincinnati with Robert. I'm jealous. I just wanted to know I'm jealous of him tonight. Because he has Brother Robert at his fingertips.
Yes, he does. They've been on the rigs on the TV shows out there all week long, I think.
Yeah, I'm like, I am so jealous. So, you know, I told him, just because I want to spend some more time with Robert before he leaves, he's going to have dinner at my mom's restaurant with us on Sunday at the service.
Right.
So I'm trying to get some of that time that that Reverend Gibbs has gotten. So
well,
I'm jealous. That's my
mood. I know he calls me all the time telling me about what he's doing with you guys, and he's really excited, and I'm excited, and it's just, you know, spreading our message even farther, and we're really happy that you've gotten on board with us and brought us in to help educate kids in your area.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's gonna, and the thing about it is the word that I use when I talk with Brother Boyd, I told him this is infectious. How can you not jump on board and not be willing to do something to help those individuals who are supposed to, quote unquote, take care of us when we get a little older?
Right.
You know,
our future.
And, right, they are our future. And it's infectious. I mean, the people that I have spoken to have been all positive, and they will be there on Sunday. And that's
great.
I just sent out about 20 texts just this afternoon, but this is infectious. So just know that what you're doing, it's good. It's good. It's from the Father. It's from the heart.
Yeah.
So it has to do nothing but flourish because it's all about Him. The individual that I had been talking with Brother Boyd about, do I say his name or what do I do with
yes.
that?
Yeah, go right ahead, Rev, because I've going to speak to my wife about that more, but you can put it out there in the universe about your son's father.
Okay. My son's father has been given a life sentence, and the punishment does not fit the crime. His name is Destry McKinney from Talladega, Alabama. He is locked up there for life. Alabama does not have a self-defense law as of what I've been told. So the punishment that they have given him does not fit the crime. And he had sent me a letter that he was sending out to Alabama citizens about going to the state representative to relook at the wording of this particular law that they have given him a punishment for. He was locked in the county jail for approximately 5.5 years before he went to St. Clair Correctional Facility in Springfield, Alabama. There have been two attorneys who have tried to work with him. They lose interest, so they no longer fight for it. So he is a minister there, and he is now on the list to receive the newsletter. And we're trying to tell his story because his punishment does not fit the crime. It was completely in self-defense. He actually even took the young lady to the hospital. He actually shot through the front windshield. She was dragging him in his yard with the car. And he shot in the window of the car. It hit her head, and she died. He drove her to the hospital. They have lost all of the evidence that really proves that it was self-defense.
Wow.
And he's locked up for life now. He's going on 11 years.
Wow.
It's about 11 years. He is so positive with his, because he's the chaplain and the minister for their facilities, religious services. Okay, he is their minister. Powerful man of God. I can't be even mad at him. Yes, I am a single mother. He did not get a chance to meet his son or acknowledge that he had a son until Isaac, his son, was 9 years old. My son realized that he had other brothers and sisters that he is now so close with, and his uncles, they have received us like we've always been there all along, and I'm so thankful for that for my son, because he is my only child. And he got an opportunity to meet him, and I never spoke anything negative about his dad to him either. You know, I had forgiven his father a long time ago, but I can't wait to tell the story how my son ended up meeting his father for the first time in more detail and futuristic to come.
Right. I think we're going to have you on a show here in the near future to tell your whole story.
Okay.
Yes.
I just really wanted
you to get that out there, Rev, and we'll make a schedule for you to be on the show, but I really just wanted you to get that out there in the air to let individuals know that, you know, this is a global problem. Everything that's going on in America, from domestic violence to injustice to drug violence to gang violence, it's a global problem. It's not just in one city. It's a global thing.
And the law there, and as I'm looking at it right now, even as we speak, it the punishment was, they were trying to stop all of the gang violence that was going on in Alabama, and so they of course they didn't have a self defense law, and if you murdered somebody that had anything to do with a vehicle or whatever, they considered it gang violence, and that is absolutely not what happened. He was not part of the gang.
Wow.
He was a dealer, but he was not in the gang.
Right. So
you know,
on that note right there, Reb, We appreciate that, and we want you save that great story for the show, but we appreciate you putting that out there in the air. I wanted you to get that out there for the public. We want you to hold tight, and we're going to run back over here to Miss Chrissy, our main girl, and we're going to let her close the whole show out, and I want to say hi to my sister-in-law, Serena. That's my baby.
Let me get Serena back on. Are you there, Serena?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Rob has to talk to you. He was too quiet earlier.
Yeah, I had to say hi to my baby down there in California. That's my sister-in-law, my main squeeze down there. Chill.
Hey, Chrissy, are people from the UK, from California, East Coast to the West Coast?
Yay.
All on right. Your radio show tonight.
Right.
And we appreciate the young lady who called us all the way from UK, all the way from
right.
London, England. So we appreciate
yeah,
that right. too tonight.
Well, I have to tell you, when you said I'd be on the show for an hour, I'm like, oh, my gosh, am I going to be able to talk for an hour? And I can't even believe that it's been well over an hour. So
it's been an hour and a half.
It's been an awesome, awesome experience to be able to come on the show and get some of my story out. Obviously, it's not all of it. And any woman that's been in a situation like this knows that, you know, this is a daily, you know, day-to-day struggle, and there's,
yes,
you know, so much more to the story. But, again, just a little bit of my story, and if anyone wants to check out the Facebook page and go on to the link for the video campaign that we're starting, that would be fabulous. And I hope to maybe be on the show again
yes,
after a while and, you know, have a happy ending to my story. So,
well, like we told you, and you know, we told you have five new sisters when we all met you, and you know, you, for the listeners, she went to school with two of our sisters, and she met the other three of us. So, you know, she does have some sisters and some support here, and with me and Rob and Streets Don't Love You Back, you definitely have our support for everything you do in terms of domestic violence, raising awareness for women. Anything you need, we're here. We're going to continue posting your stuff, and we're going to get the, you know, help you get the message out there.
Thank you.
It's definitely one of our platforms. You know, it's just so anything you need, we're here too.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk tonight, and I'm not going to lie, I'm in my driveway, and I'm ready to go in and go to bed.
Right.
Well,
I'm going to school like 13 hours a day, so
right.
It's
well,
been awesome being able
all.
To be on here. Thank you. No, I appreciate it. Anytime.
You have a great sleep. We appreciate your time. We appreciate you getting your message out there. And
well,
you
thank
continue
you for allowing me.
Yes, ma'am, and congratulations again on your graduation next Friday and your birthday that's coming up.
Definitely,
yay,
and
I won't
get to see you next weekend, but I will get with you real soon as well.
Okay.
And Serena, I'll see you next weekend.
All right.
All right,
thank you guys very much.
I
appreciate it.
We are going to go out tonight with a song called Guide Us and Protect Us by Rising Sun. And we just ask you to continue holding your head up, continue doing what you got to do to move forward and become great. And join us here every Wednesday night, 8:30 Pacific time, 11:30 Eastern time. And have a great week. Good night.
Yeah, I wanted to say one more thing, babe.
Okay, go ahead.
The song that my wife is trying to play, God is in Protect Us, that song is on the Streets Don't Love You Back soundtrack, so you'd be able to get the soundtrack. The soundtrack was made for the book, The Streets Don't Love You Back, so this is one of the songs off the soundtrack. And if you haven't got that book yet, log on to our website, www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.com. Get that Streets Don't Love You Back. Grab that Never Hit a Woman. Go to our store. Look and see what we got in all our clotheslines. We got hoodies, we got sweatsuits, we got hats, we got shorts, we got it all. So get with us, peace and love, and check this out.
Guide and protect us, Lord. Give us your grace and your strength and your mercy, swinging next to a sword. I'm fighting for justice, so nothing can hurt me, even when I pass away. My legacy lives on through my seed and my working, every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. The first one I call every day when I wake and pray. Yeah, the one who is there when no one has a care. here I say, Lord, you strengthen my soul when my mind wants to go astray, yeah, and lift me up high when I fall and my ground gives way, Lord, how precious your love and your grace and your counting days, Lord, you show me the light and the dark, now I shall repent, yeah. I will find within iron fist, Lord. The freedoms of hate and the seed till they don't exist. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks for your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. With enemies close all around, I will call your name, yeah. And slaughter the wicked quickly with no thought or shame, Lord. For my heart is firm in your hands, so I'm no disgrace, no. I'll hail up your name every day with a smiling face, boy. I never can give in a praise to your tenderness, Lord. To be in your infinite grace is my happiness, yeah. No matter the time or the place, you're omnipotent, Lord. You show me the light and the dark, so I shall repent. Guide and protect us, Lord. Give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks for your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. Yeah, we tried the long rocky road. Buffalo soldier fights the power freedom war. The last we step on the throne, the conquering disciples from your congregation. Yeah, collect your security. We build a better nation, time beside the unity. Say nothing and fight, nothing and war. But brotherly love can destroy oppression. If we come together, we can conquer all our foes. Live victory eternally. But if we keep on murdering, see so much petty things, we're crumbling our destiny. But we were meant to rule upon the earth and multiply creativity and love. So I will always try to show love and respect until I die. And so I will humble and pray. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy.